evening, good evening, and welcome to the show. They've left me with the keys, as they've had to scarper.
Well, you mean you locked Vantian and Amelia out of the station again, didn't you? Admit
it. Only slightly.
I can see them waving from the other side of the glass. Hello!
Hello!
Okay, so can we have the keys back now? I mean, they're locked out, but that also means that we are locked in.
Yeah, I forgot where I put them.
So, while we wait a locksmith, the rest of us had better get on with the headlines.
Why don't ice monsters eat penguins? It's nothing to do with the rappers.
Pilots Federation issues official statements on doing PP.
Tit for tat spat as Hutton expels suspicious person.
10 good reasons why we can't let you do this, say Pilots Federation.
Keep abreast of the action in Hutton Space with the BGS bit. Here at Hutton, we've received the latest update from Commander Drake Duran of Operation Hot ODF, currently stationed on a redacted ice world in the far reaches of the bubble, performing flight maintenance operations. The entire settlement crew has been squeezed and sequestered in their quarters, and indeed barricaded behind something heavy due to the discovery by local rampaging ravenous fauna that human beings don't taste like chicken. They're even tastier than that. In an effort to help resolve the situation, Hutton Trucker Commander Drake Duran came up with a cunning plan. The settlement's resident exobiologist, naturalist, and bizarrely given the temperatures, naturist, had noticed that these ice monsters, rather than snacking on the local penguin-like flightless bird population, avoided them like the plague.
It turns out,
she said,
that the penguins are actually carnivorous and hunt these ice monsters in packs, making the most disturbing honking noises.
They've been written up as both eudiptylophobic and spheniscophobic, which means that penguins give them the willies. Drake Duran's cunning plan involved putting on his dinner suit, making a beak out of a discarded toilet roll in a tube, and in true Blue Peter style, even using sticky back plastic of the slightly orange kind, and scooting over the ice on his belly, terrifying the ice monsters into retreating. At a loss for any better ideas, the rest of the settlement's occupants heartily agreed that it was a good plan, especially if it was Commander Drake Duran doing it, and they could stay behind the locked door. After dressing him, cracking the door open and shoving him through it onto the ice, a few hours went by. They did see him at one point scooting around on his belly on the ice, which was either a sign it had worked or that the ice monsters were still waiting outside the doors for everyone else to come out and become lunch. An hour again later, the settlement received a call from Drake Duran's radio.
Guys! Guys! Are you there?
He whispered.
It worked, but there's been a bit of a problem. It turns out that my costume was too good. Oh, these penguins are really short-sighted. They've adopted me.
Popping the door open tentatively, the rest of the settlement occupants could see the problem. There was Drake Duran sitting upright in the middle of a huddle of feral carnivorous penguins and not daring to move a muscle.
Can someone work out what these guys are afraid of, please? As I'm getting cramp in one of me flippers standing like this.
The rest of the team are working out a rescue plan. Tune in next week to find out if it worked, or whether Drake Duran had to go full PvP against a horde of angry penguins while dressed like James Bond.
The Pilots Federation has issued an urgent appeal to commanders across the galaxy, requesting that they cease referring to their weekly power play activities as doing PP. While the Pilots Federation acknowledges that maintaining loyalty to one's chosen power requires regular commitment, it wishes to clarify that doing this week's PP is not, as some assumed, a symptom of deep space dehydration, nor an indication that a pilot has been neglecting their fluid intake. It is, in fact, the routine process of grinding merits, a task which, though sometimes tedious, does not require electrolyte supplements, a doctor's note, or a mop. Further complicating the issue, some commanders, perhaps seeking an air of maturity, have attempted to rename the weekly effort of doing my number twos to mean power play two. The Pilots Federation would like to stress that the sense of duty is commendable. This particular phrasing is misleading and suggests a level of backlog more commonly associated with malfunctioning atmospheric processes, not political allegiance. Additionally, the Pilots Federation strongly advises against leaving PP until the last minute. Waiting until the weekly deadline can result in sudden, frantic rush, often leading to misjudged timings, unnecessary mess, and in extreme cases, wet shoes. Similarly, commanders referring to their efforts as dropping off a load for Grom or pushing one out of Aisling are reminded that while this terminology may feel accurate, it does a little to uphold the dignity of interstellar politics. As always, the Pilots Federation urges all commanders to approach these matters with care and regularity. Failing to do your number twos on the schedule can lead to painful blockages, unpleasant delays, and uncomfortably large mess to clean up later. Remember, if you've got to be aligned with a power, stay on top of it, keep things flowing, and do your duty.
Hutton Orbital has taken decisive action this week by expelling a Federation diplomat over alleged espionage activities, marking the latest escalation in a growing diplomatic spat. The individual in question, a mid-level Federation attaché, was reportedly observed on multiple occasions peering through what officials describe as unreasonably large binoculars towards key operational areas of Hutton Orbital. While official sources have not confirmed precisely what the diplomat was attempting to observe, speculation suggests that they were engaged in high-level surveillance of station operations, faction logistics, and, most alarmingly, Alvin himself.
Our leader's movements are, of course, a matter of utmost strategic importance,
commented an official spokesperson.
Whether he is inspecting station defences, approving major logistical operations, or just napping under his desk, this kind of scrutiny is wholly inappropriate.
In a swift and predictable retaliation, the Federation has responded by expelling friend Federico's second cousin, Amigo Angelica, from their diplomatic post. The stated reason? A failure to declare prior participation in the hot run. Federation officials insist that all diplomatic personnel must be transparent about any past affiliations that could indicate an unseemly level of independence, endurance, or indeed a tolerance for excessive supercruise travel. Hutton representatives have condemned the move, describing it as petty and pointing out that Angelica's involvement in the Hutton run was purely recreational and entirely unrelated to matters of state. The diplomatic tit-for-tat has raised concerns that further measures may follow. Sources suggest Hutton is now reviewing the status of Federation defending machines within the station, citing potential security risks, while Federation outposts have reportedly launched an internal audit of any mugs found in official buildings. When asked if Hutton had any plans to retaliate further, officials merely stated that Alvin is watching.
In response to increasing demands for expanded planetary access, the Pilots Federation has issued a formal statement outlining exactly why commanders should curb their enthusiasm. A panel of leading experts, including ship manufacturers, planetary scientists, and the designers of the Remlock survival mask, have weighed in on the matter, presenting 10 solid, if occasionally squishy, reasons why landing on certain worlds remains firmly off the table. Items 1 through 4. You've already got more planets than you can plough into. Commanders can already land on icy planets, rocky planets, high metal worlds, and metal-rich worlds. That's a lot of planets. A vast, endless selection of cold, lifeless lumps. All slightly different shades of beige, grey, and mildly interesting mango. If that's not enough for you, Vista Genomics recommends that you take up geology, or at least pretend to be impressed by the terrain you've already been given.
"We ran a survey,"
said one exasperated geologist.
"And over 90% of pilots have yet to fully explore a single planet they can land on. But sure, let's give them more places to park."
Number 5. Your hull will have holes. Ammonia worlds, beloved by Thargoids and no one else, present a unique challenge. The ship manufacturer's trade body has made it clear. Ammonia-rich atmospheres will dissolve hull plating faster than a credit balance in a cutthroat commodities market. Remlock Systems has also confirmed that while their masks can keep a pilot alive in the vacuum of space, they cannot prevent the horrifying personal consequences of ammonia exposure, which were described in the report as
"not so much a rapid decompression as an unsolicited skin shearing."
This assessment was later amended to
"imagine your suit melting, your ship dissolving, and your dignity disintegrating in record time.
Plus Thargoids. Don't forget the Thargoids. VI. You can't rely on rusty relics. While commanders continue to petition for access to water worlds, a coalition of shipbuilders has pointed out that starships don't float. They sink. Speedily. Silently. Straight to the seafloor. And before anyone suggests an alternative, allow us to remind you that Moray starboats haven't been in production for centuries."
"If you can even find one,"
noted a representative from Scrap It and Flog It, the galaxy's foremost reclamation agent.
"It'll be held together with a wishful thinking, rust, gaffer tape, which is why they're selling them for zillion credits on Galbay as nearly new."
Lacon has similarly ruled out any involvement.
"We build rugged ships,"
a spokesperson confirmed.
"But not ones that double as submarines. You want an adventure? Try opening your cargo hatch in supercruise. Same effect, much faster."
Meanwhile, unverified reports from deep space explorers suggest that some water worlds contain creatures large enough to view an approaching Sidewinder as a snack-sized starship.
"We're not saying there are monstrous, murderous, megafaunal menaces lurking beneath the waves,"
said a spokesperson for Saud Kruger.
"But we're also not saying there aren't. We lost a prototype porpoise once. It just vanished. Still sends out distress signals from inside something. Just because we name them after aquatic creatures doesn't mean we want you becoming the ornament in some Kraken's back garden. Actually, Kraken's a cracking name for a ship. Copyright us. Or is that US?
Us. Okay." If you're determined to be devoured, ship manufacturers suggest parking next to a capital class ship's intake vents instead. It'll be quicker, quieter, and considerably cheaper. G. Look out for that tree, that tundra, that towering cliff. The appeal of landing on lush, Earth-like planets is undeniable. However, environmental concerns have been raised regarding the impact of high-speed orbital descent on fragile flora, frightened fauna, and frequently flammable forests. I'm going to kill Dave for that
one. Oh, yeah, we've seen how you fly.
Remarked a local city councillor.
We can barely rely on... I'll try again. We can barely trust you with a toaster-sized SRV, let alone a high-speed orbital entry near a biosphere.
Insurance firms remain reluctant to cover pilots for collisions with trees, tundra, topsoil, or, most embarrassingly, their own shadow. Meanwhile, planetary conservationists are particularly concerned about the introduction of foreign contaminants.
The last thing we need...
warned them. Ecologists stated.
Is some pilot stepping out, dragging in dust from a system 500 light years away, and accidentally annihilating an entire ecosystem of bioluminescent blobs. Bastard.
Eight. Gas giants give you gravity-induced grief. Gas giants remain firmly off-limits, for one simple reason. Physics.
Yeah, we run the numbers,
commented Dai Yem, a leading exasperated astrophysicist.
If you're planning to enter a gas giant's atmosphere, your ship will crumple like a crap in a cargo hold.
Pilots are therefore strongly discouraged from testing this, though ship manufacturers have generously offered to sell replacement hulls to anyone who insists on trying.
It's not a question of if you'll be compressed,
added a Falcon de Lacy engineer.
It's how fast, how hard, and how humiliatingly small you'll be at the end of it.
Nine. You're a catastrophic, crash-prone, civilization-threatening menace. After reviewing countless docking station logs, major planetary authorities have unanimously rejected requests for populated planet parking.
We've seen how you lot try to land,
said another city planner.
There is no way that we're letting you land anywhere near one of our spaceports with your civilian traffic.
And concerns include, but are not limited to, perilous parking, reckless re-entry, unauthorised urban flybys, catastrophic city centre collapses via Type 9 impact, and the general inability to distinguish between braking and begging for forgiveness.
It's bad enough we got pilots turning landing pads into personal demolition sites,
muttered an air traffic controller.
Letting them loose in a metropolis? We might as well just hand them the keys to a nuclear reactor and hope for the best.
And X, because bureaucracy is best. In closing, the Pilots Federation would like to remind all commanders that while their requests have been recorded, reviewed, and roundly ridiculed, the final decision remains unchanged. Taking into consideration the opinions of...
one exasperated geologist,
one spokesperson for Remlock Industries,
a representative from Scarpit and Flogget, the galaxy's foremost reclamation agent.
One non-Texan Lacon spokesperson.
A Thold Kruger representative.
A duly elected local city councillor.
An ecologist.
A leading exasperated astrophysicist. Hang on, that was the wrong voice.
Close enough.
An engineer for Falcon de Lacy.
A city planner.
And
an air traffic controller.
There's only one spokesperson, representative or authority on matters left to ask. The Pilots Federation themselves. If you want the thrill of new planetary experiences, they concluded, we suggest you take a walk outside the station for once. Or, failing that, open a window and stick your head out.
Welcome to the Hutton BGS bit, where we sell well-known landmarks to the BGS people and then spend the money in sweeties before they can catch us. You get billions of Smarties for 5 billion credits. Anyway, there are 18 systems with high influence this week, so if it's a Hutton system above 60% influence, then leave it alone. There's Civil Liberty and Wolf 359 and Wolf 1481, so keep your hand in your halfpenny if you go there. Partner Star has Continuing Investment, Civil Liberty and Expansion, so it looks like the Ransomers has opened a new branch. Booms are in Kokari, 36 Ophiuchi and Narensis. There is an outbreak in LP 525-39. And we are at war with Jet Power Solutions in LFT 142. No, I've never heard of it either. This is a chance for us to get a first facility there. We also have a big election in the Soul with the Soul Workers Party and Wolf 629, which gives us the opportunity to pick up our first facility in that system. Well, it's all going on in Hutton space, but what does it all mean? Oh, somebody's typing. Who's typing?
I am.
Stop it! Stop it now!
Just
well, if you want to truck it, then truck medical supplies.
Type faster.
525-39 to help with the outbreak. Or truck into Barnard Star for big profits. News just in. Outbreak is finished! Okay, if you want to run missions, then run them from Hutton and Wolf 69 to help out with that election. And if you want to shoot it, then get yourself over to LFT 142 and give Jet Power Solutions a multi-cannon enema. And that's it for this week's Hutton BGS bit. And breathe.